This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Secure Give, the leading provider of safe and simple giving software for churches and charities that can be implemented through kiosks, online, mobile app, and text-to-give options. It's designed to grow your giving, save you time, and reach more people. Learn more at securegive.com. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, friends. Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We are glad you're tuning in. This is a call-in show where we talk about life, we talk about money, all through the lens of the Bible. Yes, the Holy Bible, that one that's hopefully not sitting on the end, on that end table there right next to the couch, but something that's been opened recently. The phone number is 866-357-3283. Again, 866-357-3283. You call in. And we'll talk all about the situations that you may find yourself in and kind of see what the Bible has to say about it. You can also email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. I don't know if you've seen the recent study that we've done here at Ramsey Solutions, but we did a research study on millennials. How bad are they? How good are they, right? I'm not sure how you view millennials and their responsibility and those kind of things, but got some really good news. And if you're a millennial and you're listening in, we are about to applaud you. Some of the findings in this huge research study we did that we're going to provide a link for you right there at stewardship.com for you to look at the entire study. But some of the things that some of the headlines of the study, 58% of millennials are currently saving for retirement, 58. Millennials are as likely to know how much money that they'll need for retirement as baby boomers or Gen Xers. You might not have thought that as well. And millennials begin saving for retirement at an average age of 23. Would you ever guess that? Goes on to say millennials outperforming older generations in retirement readiness. Millennials' ability to answer big retirement questions on par with boomers and Gen Xers. And then it goes on to say savings habits position millennials for a brighter retirement outlook. So lots of great news that we've found in our research about millennials. So check that out. It's right there at stewardship.com. Well, I told you we were taking your calls, and we are. This first one comes in from Peyton in DuPont, Washington. Peyton, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I help you?
My husband and I, we make about an average yearly income of about $53,000.
Okay.
And in the next 6 months, that's jumping up to about $90,000.
Why? What's
and
happening?
So,
promotion?
My husband's in the military, and he's getting promoted to officer.
Well, that's
and
great.
So,
good news.
Thank you.
That's very cool. You should be really proud.
When that happens, thank you. We are really unsure about what to do with that money. Should we dump it into savings for retirement, or should we maybe save for a house, even though we're not really sure when we could buy a house because we move? So we're kind of just unsure of what to do with all that money that's coming in.
Right, right. How old are you?
20.
All right, 20 years old, making $90,000. I love it. Well, congratulations, and I want to say thank you for, you know, the sacrifice of serving our country. We appreciate that big time.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you're being rewarded for it. So, and do you guys have no debt?
Yeah, we don't have any debt.
Okay. And any savings?
We have a six-month emergency fund.
Good. Is there money right now at the end of the month?
Yes.
Good. So you guys are... not only have your full savings, you're now saving every month also.
Yes.
What are some of your, right now, what are some of your financial frustrations? What are some things that you wish you could do, but you're not doing? Some just lifestyle decisions. It'll give me an idea of, you know, where you're at financially.
Well, since we just got our 6 month emergency fund completed, I would say 2 months ago, we're saving about 27% of our income, of our take home right now. And so we're living very budgeted. Mm-hmm. And so we do budget for a few fun things, but we are 20 and we would kind of like to do a little bit more than we're doing. So that's really our biggest frustration is kind of, we're very strict with ourselves as of right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you look at the Bible, there's a lot of instruction on saving, a lot of instruction on mm-hmm. investing. There's a lot of instruction on just enjoying the fruits of your labor. And so mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with that. So you've got to really, sometimes there's people out there that say that Christians are supposed to be just live on nothing and it's just not enjoy anything, give 100% of your money away, which is an extreme example. That's a Gnostic. It's been around for thousands and thousands of years. There's other ones that are all about prosperity, enjoy it all, and just live in the moment. That's obviously extreme, but you want to be somewhere in the middle. So what I would do with this extra money is I would give you guys a lifestyle increase. So let's just say right now you're living about a $40,000 lifestyle, and you're making, would you say, 53 or something like that? Yeah, so you're living, $35,000, $40,000. I would give yourself another grand a month. And so that gives you another 12 grand a year. And then I would just work through the baby steps. I'd go to everydollar.com and I would budget all $90,000. But here's the way it would look based on the baby steps. I would probably put together a household operations budget of around, $50,000, $60,000, which includes saving. Well, I guess you don't have to do that now because you have a full emergency fund, but it would include the 15% going to long-term retirement, your investing. And then there'd be a budget category in there that goes towards saving up for a home. And so by 25 years old, you guys could be on baby step 7. You could be completely through all the baby steps and be in a really, really good spot. And you're probably going to do that anyway, somehow. But that's the way I would do it. I'd have the separate account. It'd be kind of a home fund. And I'd put money in there. But make sure you take care of the 15% because you want your investments to be diversified first before you put too much money into one parcel. But you guys are rocking.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love it. Hey, so DuPont, Washington, if I'm right, that's a couple hours north of Portland?
Yes.
All right. Well, guess what? We're coming to Portland on November 17th. Hopefully, you'll still be stationed there, but I want to give you free tickets to a Smart Money event with me and Chris Hogan. We'll be coming there to Portland, so stay on the line, and we'll give you free tickets to Smart Money Portland on November 17th, okay?
Oh, okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, Peyton.
We know that church leaders have big vision to impact lives, but usually don't have enough resources to make it happen. So if you can make it easier to create a culture of generosity in your church, wouldn't you do it? Secure Give is the leading provider of safe and simple giving software that can be implemented through kiosks, online, mobile app, and text-to-give options. It also has direct integration with the most popular church management systems, allowing automatic reconciliation. Nearly one-third of the top 100 churches in the U.S. use Secure Give. It's designed to grow your giving, save you time, and reach more people. Learn more at securegive.com.
All right, next on the line from Portland. Justin, how you doing?
Doing well, Chris. How are you?
You're probably going to want the tickets too then, huh?
I already got tickets.
No, good, good. Well, how can I help you today?
Well, I was calling and I had a question. I heard you answer another question about taking vacations while still on baby step 2. Mm-hmm. But my question was more in line with family. Me and my wife both have family on the East Coast in separate cities, mm-hmm. and both have elderly grandparents, and we have a 3-year-old at home. It's really important that we introduce her, that she gets to know her great-grandparents. And we've been on baby step 2 for a couple years now. We have about 2 years left. But this year, we both want to be able to go back to Indianapolis and New York to visit her great-grandparents separately. And I just want to know if that's a good idea. We can do it with cash. We won't take out any additional debt to do it, but it will delay kind of our plan to be out of debt by at least a few months to do this.
Okay. What is the plan to be completely out of debt? What's your magic date?
2 years. So June 2018 would be the match date.
Okay. And your quick numbers, income and debt?
So income, we're about 100 or just under 100,000 a year. And we have 30,000 or about 34,000 total debt right now.
Okay. And how much savings do you have?
We just have the emergency fund, basically.
Good.
$1,000.
I was hoping you'd say that. Okay. So the problem is that things like this are always going to come up. I mean, right now it's, these are kind of things that are very easy to justify. I mean, very easy. That's probably why you're calling, because if it was not so easy to justify, it would be a no-brainer not to. But because you've got the family element and you've got elderly family, you can totally see how this would be a tough decision. What I would do if I was in your shoes, as I would challenge myself, I would do whatever I'd have to do to pay the same amount of debt off that it would cost me for the trip. So if the trip's going to cost me $1,000 and I'm currently paying $1,000 for debt, what I would do is I would pay between now and then, I'd pay $2,000 on the debt. So that didn't go backwards, but pretty much in a sense, you're cutting somewhere else. You're finding room somewhere else to pay for this trip, but not cutting into what you'd be doing with debt. So you're not going to go backwards, but you would actually be finding room somewhere else. So either A, it's on the income side, or B, it's on the expense side. But I want you to be able to go on the trip, but I also don't want you to lose time on the paying off. So I would actually, if I was in your shoes, what I'd do is I'd challenge myself to make it happen, make both happen. Still stay gazelle intense, but also take the trip.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying there, and I love that. We do budget down to zero every month, and we've been budgeting really hard. And this, you know, the plan to get out of debt in 2 years, just this last month was decided. Okay, this is what we're going to do. But before that, it probably would have taken about 5 years. So we're just getting more and more intense at this point. Hopefully there is an opportunity to make more income. I have an interview today at 3:15. Say a nice word about that for myself. That would help in that regard.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's, I don't know where we can cut in other places. Obviously we can look at some things, but you know, we both work full time. We don't have any car debt. My current debt is on a HELOC, which I know I can kind of say, well, that's on the home and not, but right. For myself, it's important that that's part of the debt snowball, that we're out of that.
Well, you know, Justin, a lot of those things you just told me are important variables to the situation. So what I always tell people is when you're in this big, huge debt payoff season, to give yourself these opportunities periodically to celebrate. And for this could be a celebration thing for you. It could be, instead of going out to dinner or going to, I don't know what it would be, but it could be just a little celebration, because you need these times of relief for your emotional well-being, because you guys are being so intense. So because you're doing so many intense thing and doing such a good job going from 5 years to 2 years, I'm completely fine with this trip, as long as it doesn't ruin you've got to ask yourself, are we being undisciplined and we're having these things pop up all the time? Or is this truly a one-time thing? And also what I would do, Justin, is I would focus in on what really matters on this trip. What matters is the visit, not souvenirs, not extra nights, not Ritz-Carlton, not an earlobe massage. But
no, we're going to stay with a family. So, you know, we're going to do it as bottom line as possible, or as little money as possible to go ahead and do it. But you're right. It's exactly right. It's the visit. It's seeing the family and spending time with them. That's important, especially since our daughter's, you know, at a young age and getting to a point where she can actually appreciate these types of visits as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it sounds like you got a very, you know, sound head on your shoulders, and you're going to win financially. And I don't hear any kind of hints of lack of discipline or getting off the plan. So, yeah, I say go for it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. There is lack of discipline at some points, but for the most part, we try to stay pretty disciplined.
Good. Very good news. And we'll see you in November.
Yeah, we'll do.
Very cool.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
Right. Take care.
All right, folks. Got an email here from Fred. Says, hello, Chris. I like the show and listen to it while driving to the office. In your expert opinion, do you think it is easier to make money, save money, or invest money? I look forward to your response. Well, I'm a saver naturally. I annoy my wife with that. I love to save. So I would say save would be easiest for me. Then to make money, I'm not afraid of work. And then invest money is actually my hardest. But I do have to discipline myself when it comes to making money, and maybe you're the same way, that it's not just going out and working hard. You have to go out and you have to work smart. And many times I'll go out and just say, okay, what can I do? What can I do? But that's actually not the smartest thing I can do. Let's say I can go out and work, and we'll just throw a number out. I can go out and work for $10, $20 an hour and kill it on a Saturday, which is not normally a work day for me. And it's like, oh, good, I made an extra $100 for our family. Or I could spend Saturday mornings working on a long-term project that could bring, it could be that next big idea, and not in a dreamer way, but it could make a, it could be a large, maybe a $10,000 project or a $50,000 project or something that's could actually bring in more, you know, revenue for the family and more, provide more for my family if I work smart, not just hard. And I also got to think through taking care of myself when it comes to making money. You know, sometimes we can just say, I'm all about making money. And the next thing you know, you're not taking care of yourself, which is the economic engine for your personal finance, is your ability to work. So that's where I have to discipline myself. I also have to discipline myself when it comes to investing. It's very hard for me to invest in what you can't see and touch, what a lot of people call paper money. And so I have to be really invested to do that. I mean, I have to be really disciplined to invest long term. I do it because I know history proves that it works, and it's worked in my life, and I see it. You know, it has times where it goes down and it has times where it goes up. But overall, it's, you know, being diversified is big. But I like to naturally invest in things I can see and touch. I love real estate. So I have to be really disciplined to invest diversified first, then real estate second. So good question. But definitely saving is, I don't even care to spend. I'm more of a saver. Well, folks, if you've been thinking about buying a home, you know how easy it is to get carried away in the excitement of it all. I saw it firsthand when I worked in real estate. Clients walk through countless open houses until finally they walk through a door and their faces light up. And you know this is the one. But here's the deal. Buying a home is one of the biggest financial decisions you will make. That's why it's so important to find the right agent, someone with the heart of a teacher who you can trust. Our endorsed local provider program offers you access to real estate agents in the top 5% in the nation. They have the knowledge and the experience to get you the best price on your future home. If you're ready to start the buying process, go to stewardship.com and get connected with their real estate ELP today. And if you just started thinking about buying and want to learn more, be sure to download a copy of our home buyer guide at stewardship.com. You don't want to have to worry about the details of the home while you're planning life in your new home. Learn more or get started with the ELP today at stewardship.com.
We appreciate you joining us today for Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And leave us a voicemail. Let's get back to Chris.
This next call comes in from Scottsdale, Arizona. This is Ryan. Ryan, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good, Chris. How are you?
I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Well, quick question, hopefully, for you. My wife and I are $20,000 in debt. She recently had surgery done, which was less expensive than we had figured, so we have about $3,000 left over from that. And she also has around $5,000 mutual fund and also a somewhat lemon of a car. So my question is, should we dip into that mutual fund to either put towards loans or to buy a more reliable car? Or should we just leave that be and keep on doing what we're doing?
How long has she had the mutual fund?
I believe it's something her parents started, and I believe it was intended for either college or wedding.
Okay.
But she's finished with college, and we're already married.
There you go. And it's not deemed retirement. It's just a mutual fund, right?
I believe so.
It's not a Roth IRA or an IRA. It's just a mutual fund.
Yes. I can't say that I know too much about that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But I think it is just a mutual
fund. Well, if it's just a mutual fund and it's not retirement, you're not going to get docked in penalties. So that's the big thing. I love it. I would take it out and I would apply it towards your debt. I wouldn't, mm-hmm. If you feel it, I don't know how the car is acting up, but if it's like major and it's like, seriously, you don't even know if it's going to last this week, then I would, how much money do you have in savings again? You had $3,000, you said?
Yes. And that, the other thing I forgot too was, we have a dog that's back legs kind of need surgery. And for one leg, that would cost around $3,000. So we are also thinking from the leftover money that we'd saved for my wife's surgery, which was around $3,000, we could put that towards the dog.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
again, we're just not sure.
Yeah, you know the intensity on all three of the needs, the car, the dog, and the debt. For me, just looking at all three of those on paper, because I'm not emotionally involved, I'm attacking the debt. Keep $1,000 in the emergency fund, and the rest of the money, which is, I think, see, after taxes, you'll have another $6,000. Apply that to where you feel like the most, it's most intense, like that's where the biggest need is. But for me, it's towards the debt. You only know if you're how intense the injury is with the dog and how
right.
bad the car is. But just know that my advice coming from this show is that mm-hmm. debt's the most important.
Okay.
That's about it. I would pull it. Yeah, you're probably going to get only four of it. You're only going to get $4,000, but after taxes. But
mm-hmm.
It'll help you big time.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Got an email here from Josh. Says, "Hey Chris, my boss is a strong follower of Christ. However, I've begun the process of talking with him about running the business that I work at debt free. I am concerned by the growing number of renovations and big projects that are being done via debt. I would like to help him build a strategy or point him towards a direction to get the business debt-free and operating that way in the future. I have led a Financial Peace University class, but I don't really know very well how to apply the baby steps as it relates to a business or in presenting to a high driver personality. Any help would be appreciated, as I would like to feel more secure in the business model, as I believe strongly in the mission, but would hate to see an open door for the enemy to come in and crush the business." Okay, so Josh, leading up is an interesting tension, no matter what industry you're in. And really, it's going to come down to presenting a better option than what he's doing. So you're going to present a better option financially with numbers, and you're also going to need to present the spiritual why, because you said he's a strong follower of Christ. So he's going to be interested in the spiritual why. And then a third component is I would present the emotional why about how much better he's going to sleep at night and how much better his marriage is going to be and how much more he's going to listen to his kids and not be distracted because he's got all this leverage in the business. I would also present him with resources that point him towards how to do it. You know, the worst employees in the world are employees that present problems. Employers are looking for employees that don't just present problems, but present solutions. And so present the concern, but then with a plan A, B, and C of some things he can think through, knowing that you don't know all the variables. So you could come across a little bit know-it-all-ish because there's probably some variables that you don't know. But so have that tone of, hey, I might not know all the variables, but I'm just trying to help and trying to bring more value to our mission here. But the bottom line is, Josh, that no matter what you present him with, the options that you're going to present all come down to the P word, and that is patience. And you cannot make him have patience. You just can't. You can't make him do anything. At the end of the day, he's got to ask himself, we've got to ask ourselves, whether we're serious about being a faithful steward or not. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Those who have been entrusted to be stewards of a business, of a house, of relationships, of health, any kind of tangible items, of our personal development, we're to be faithful stewards." And sometimes in life, if we're honest, we feel like we're backed up against the wall. But get this, faithful stewards are propelled by faith, not controlled by fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." Josh, I know you got a hard task ahead of you, man. I love the fact that you strongly believe in the mission. And so that will radiate through your words when you talk to him. But we're praying for you that God gives you the big idea, gives you the words to say. Fill your mind and your mouth with the words that encourage him, not condemn him. But very, very good question. And hey, listen, Josh, if you email us back and kind of like just latch on to the previous email, we will send you a book. We'll send you Entree Leadership of how Dave Ramsey did it here at Ramsey Solutions. Everything has been debt-free since day one. Well, folks, thank you so much for tuning in. I love watching all of you encourage each other on social media, whether it be on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Join the conversation at Chris Brown On Air. Having a lot of fun over there on social media. Don't forget, visit stewardship.com and click on Find an ELP to get started with a real estate agent in your area. Folks, until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.